Welcome to Nach Yomi of the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Esther Schkopp. Today we'll focus on Chapter 21, which describes events that occur well after the incidents related in the previous chapter. Clearly, Sefer Yirmiyahu is not organized chronologically, but these chapters are linked thematically. As this chapter opens, the prophet's enemies and their leader, King Tzidkiyahu, who had so relentlessly persecuted Yirmiyahu and had repeatedly expressed disdain for his rebukes and guidance, come together to humbly beseech Yirmiyahu's help. Drosh na be'adeinu et Hashem ki Nebuchadrezzar melech Bavel nilcham aleinu. Ulai yaseh Hashem otanu kechol nifleotav ve'ya'ale me'aleinu. Please beseech Hashem for us, because Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, is attacking us. Perhaps Hashem will perform wonders for us as he had in times past, so that he will withdraw from us. While the name Pashhur figures in the previous chapter as well, these are two distinct individuals, as indicated by their different fathers. Nonetheless, both will experience the horrific siege of Jerusalem that began 2 years before the complete fall of the Judean kingdom that had been colonized by the Babylonians 9 years earlier. At that time, the legitimate monarch of the house of David, Jehoiachin, and his entire court were exiled and were being held hostage in Babylonia. His uncle was installed as the puppet regent and was coronated and renamed Tzidkiyahu by the Babylonians when he swore fealty to his empirical masters. Tzidkiyahu was the third son of the righteous Yoshiyahu and had never dreamed of becoming king, though it seems the title pleased him. He proved to be ineffectual and weak of character, with little religious or political backbone. Though he had pledged to be a loyal subject, Tzidkiyahu vacillated between submission to the foreign overlords and their gods, and his fealty to his Jewish advisors and his native religion. Like other colonies of the Babylonian Empire, Judea looked for an opportune time to rebel against their overbearing masters. Though he did not have a standing army, in the 9th year of Tzidkiyahu's reign, he was persuaded by some of his ministers to join the Egyptians in a coup against their Babylonian captors. The rebellion was doomed from the start and brought on the cruel siege of Jerusalem, culminating 2 years later with the total collapse of Yehuda and the burning of the glorious Beit HaMikdash built by Shlomo HaMelech 4 centuries earlier. As the Chaldeans surrounded the walls of Jerusalem, Tzidkiyahu sent those emissaries to his erstwhile nemesis, hoping that the prophet's prayers would avert disaster and save Jerusalem, just as the city was saved from the Assyrian siege 2 centuries earlier. Yirmiyahu's response provided cold comfort to the warriors of Jerusalem as he employed language reminiscent of the miraculous exodus from Egypt, but did so with cruel irony in verses 4 through 6. Kah amar Hashem Elokei Yisrael, Hineni misev et klei hamilchama asher bietchem, asher atem nilchamim bam, et melech bavel, ve'et hakasdim hatzarim alechem, mechutz lachoma, ve'asafti otam el toch ha'ir hazot. Ve'nilchamti ani etchem beyad netuya, uvezro chazaka, uve'af uvechema, uvekezef gadol. Ve'hiketi et yoshvei ha'ir hazot, ואת האדם ואת הבהמה בדבר גדול ימותו. This is what Hashem, the God of Israel, said. I'm about to turn against you the weapons of war that are in your hands, which you are using to fight the king of Babylon and the Chaldeans who are outside the wall, besieging you. I will gather them into the city. I myself will fight against you with an outstretched hand and a mighty arm in furious anger and great rage. I will smite those who live in this city, both man and beast, and they will die of a great plague. Malbim explains the phrase Hineni Misev et Klei HaMilchama and indicates that it predicts that the Jew will turn against Jew. And weapons that were supposed to be used against the Chaldeans will now be wielded against their fellow countrymen who, dying of thirst and hunger, will try to surrender only to meet their death at the hands of zealous rebels. The terminology in this prophecy indicates that the military prowess of the Chaldean militias will be enhanced by divine intervention. Jews that do not perish by the sword will be smitten by plague. Indeed, as recorded in various books of the Tanakh, disease and famine devastated the city's inhabitants, leading many to flee into the hands of the merciless soldiers of the Chaldean army. Moreover, Hashem has a message for Tzidkiyahu, who will attempt to escape from the besieged city, in verse 7. ואחרי כן נאום השם אתן את צדקיהו מלך יהודה ואת עבדיו ואת העם ואת הנשארים בעיר הזאת מן הדבר, מן החרב ומן הרעב ביד נבוכדרצר מלך בבל וביד אויביהם וביד מבקשי נפשם והיקם לפי חרב לא יחוס עליהם ולא יחמול ולא ירחם. After that, declares Hashem, I will hand over Tzidkiyahu, king of Yehuda, his officials, and the people in this city who survived the plague, the sword, the famine, into the hands of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and to their enemies who want to kill them. He will put them to the sword. He will show no mercy or pity or compassion. Yirmiyahu is then dispatched to deliver a message to the general populace, warning them of the impending danger and advising them to surrender rather than to die, in verses 8 through 10. Velayam azeh tomar, ko amar Hashem, hineni noten lifnechem et derech hachaim ve derech hamavet. Hayoshev ba'ir azot yamut bacherev uvarav uvadever. והיוצא ונפל על הכסדים הצרים עליכם, יחיה, והייתה לו נפשו לשלל. כי שמתי פניי בעיר הזאת לרעה ולא לטובה, נאום השם. ביד מלך בבל תינתן, ושרפה באש. As for the people, tell them, so said Hashem, I'm setting here before you the path to life, and the path to death. Whoever stays in this city will die by sword, famine, or plague. But whoever goes out and submits to the Babylonians who are besieging you, he shall live and will escape with his life. I have determined to do this city harm and no good, declares Hashem. It will be given into the hands of the king of Babylon, and he will burn it by fire. The fortresses and walls of Jerusalem would provide no protection for the general population once Hashem had removed his protective presence. The Shekhinah cannot abide in a city that had been so tainted by immoral behavior, idolatrous practices, and corrupt and unscrupulous leadership. Then Hashem sends another message to the royal court, a last-ditch escape from utter eradication, which sheds light on the underlying cause for the destruction of Yerushalayim. Ulevet melech Yehuda, shim'u dvar Hashem. Beit David ko amar Hashem. Dinu laboker mishpat, vehatzilu gazul miyad oshek. פן תצא כאש חמתי, ובערה ואין מחבה מפני רוע מעל עליכם. Moreover, to the royal house of Yehuda, hear the word of Hashem. This is what Hashem says to you, house of David. Administer justice while it's still morning. Rescue the robbed and exploited from the hand of the exploiter, lest my wrath will break out and burn like an unquenchable fire because of the evil you have done. Clearly, it was still possible to avert disaster and prevent the complete fall of the Judean kingdom, but only while it is still morning, which Malbim explains is a warning that come noon, it will be too late. The prophet's prayers could not safeguard the Davidic dynasty, nor the autonomy of the Jews. It would require serious and immediate reform of the nation's political and social policies and practices. Neither the sanctity of the Beit HaMikdash nor the merits of a handful of tzaddikim could save a monarchy that is not committed to the legacy of its founder, David HaMelech, as described in Shmuel Bet in the 8th chapter. Vayimloch David al kol Yisrael, Vayi David ose mishpat utzdaka lechol amo. David reigned over all of Israel, and David executed justice and righteousness for all his people. Only a ruler committed to the welfare of all his subjects and doesn't abuse the power entrusted to him can secure Hashem's protection. That message is further elaborated in the following chapter. This chapter, however, ends on a somber note, with verses 13 and 14 that mock the arrogance and self-assuredness of the powerful elites relying on the fortifications and the holiness of Jerusalem to save their necks. Hineni Elecha yoshevet ha'emek, tzur ha'mishor ne'um Hashem. Ha'omrim, mi echat aleinu, umi yavo bim'onotenu. Ufakadeti alechem kifrim al aleichem, ne'um Hashem. Vehitzati esh biyara, ve'achla kol sviveha. I'm on to you, you who dwell in the valley. And you on the rocky plateau, declares Hashem. Those of you who say, who can attack us? Who can enter our sanctuaries? I will punish you as your deeds deserve, declares Hashem. I will kindle a fire in your forest, and it will consume everything around you. Malbim explains that this message was directed to the royal palace, situated at the slope of the mountain, and the fortress high up on the rock. Landmarks representing the political and religious leadership of Yerushalayim. Shadal concurs and explains that the conflagration, that is, the massacre, would begin in the forest with the Babylonians attacking the royal family and then spread towards those who remain loyal to the rebellious Tzidkiyahu and his allies. Thank you for learning together. Le'ilui Nishmat Barbara Atlas, Bracha Bat Avraham. She was a beacon of light to all who knew her. Barbara's kindness and generosity had no bounds.